You know, and I think the older I get, the more I realize how much I needed to be forgiven of. You know, and the fight doesn't end just because you get old, you know, older. You're going to battle this like in the scriptures, the type of the flesh is the Amalekites, and the Lord has sworn that he will have warfare with the Amalekites forever. I don't know how they what they did, but they got the Lord mad at them, you know. And you get on the wrong side of the Lord, and that's all she wrote. But the older we get, we realize that this battle is not over yet until the Lord calls us home. You hear your name called, come up hither, or he calls you the other way. But I thought if we just go through, have a devotion through Psalm 103. This is talking about the mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord. It's got 22 verses, the same amount of verses as in the number of the alphabet of the Hebrew alphabet. And it says right here, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in within me, bless his holy name. It keeps saying that, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It ends in verse 22 with, bless the Lord, all his works in all the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless, according to the dictionary, so we'd be right here. Because sometimes we assume words mean things, and then we find out, oh, it meant something. It was similar, but not quite what I meant. But these are two common words. Bless means to praise, to glorify, to magnify, to extol, for benefits received. And that's why when they usually say, would you like to say grace or say the blessing before you're going to receive food, what you're doing is you're thanking the Lord for the benefits that we take so for granted. I don't know about you, maybe I'm weird, but when I go to a grocery store, sometimes I just look at all the produce and I look at all the store, all the shelves that are stocked, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I didn't do that. You know, we're not an agrarian society like we used to be 100 years ago. You know, you ask somebody where eggs come from, they'll say, oh, a carton from the grocery store. You mean it comes from a bird? You know? And we have it so good here, it's easy to lose sight of the fact of how good we really got it. And sometimes when I go to the grocery store, I'll just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because I didn't make this. Somebody did. And you know what? You didn't save yourself. The Lord saved you. You know, as rotten and low down as you are, and I'm talking to myself too. We dress up nicely, don't we? It's always good to reflect on what the Lord has done for you. To bless is, and there is another word we're going to come across, to chide. It is found in verse 9. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. The chide means to scold, to reprove, to rebuke, to blame, reproach. You know, every time that's one of them words, especially for me, and I'll make a confession here, that I was guilty of sometimes, even with my own children. And if I could do it over again, I would change things. But forgetting those things which are past, I press toward the mark. That's the only claim I got. I can't go and undo the past. You know, we've all said some things, but our God is not like that. Because he doesn't keep, once you get right with him, he doesn't keep score. He's not up there like the Mohammedan God, just waiting until you mess up so he can slap you down. No, he just says, all right, get back up. Let's keep going. And I just thought if we would just take time to reflect on this psalm here tonight, I think it would be a benefit to us all. The theme of this psalm, as you know, is mercy. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul and all that was within me bless his holy name. A real blessing, praise, must come from the heart. You know, when we were lost, I don't know about you, but I was in the military, and they taught us how to cuss. I mean, exquisitely. Even to the point that when I went home on leave the first time, even my lost friend said, "Where'd you learn that?" You know? Well, you got a drill instructor shouting at you in all kind of foreign languages, usually with four-letter words and all this, so you pick it up. And sometimes I think, you know, we as Christians are guilty of the fact that we take the Lord's name in vain. Not that we use it as a cuss word, but we don't think about it. You know, sometimes we'll just say, bless me, you know, or something like that. We really don't take the fact that God is holy. His name is holy. And when we should bless the Lord, we should praise him. It should come from your heart, not your head. If I could get you to understand that, it's not a name to be trifled with. It's God who loved you enough to die for you. And real blessing must come from the heart, and only from and by the Spirit. You know, it says right here in Romans chapter 8. In there. See if I got this right. It says right here, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he searcheth the hearts and knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, I discussed this in our Sunday school when it's talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and what he does for us and all this. But you know what? In the realization of it, you didn't bless the Lord correctly before you got saved. You know? God didn't even acknowledge it. But it takes the Holy Spirit to really, in you, to really communicate with the infinite. You're talking about the finite trying to communicate with the infinite. And that's what we are, you know. But we have this treasure in earthly vessels. It's called the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. And guess what you got now? You can communicate with God. And he'll actually listen to you. Before, we used to communicate at him, and he'd sometimes, to our shame, use him as a cuss word. Isn't that strange? Haven't you ever wondered why nobody ever cusses Satan's name out or use him as a cuss word? But it's always God or the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the God of this world wants you to blaspheme the Lord if he can get you to do it. And they blaspheme his name. How can a clean thing come from something so vile as us? In Romans chapter 7, it says right here, in Romans chapter 7, verse 8, when we are dealing with our flesh, and as long as you're alive today and haven't been raptured and haven't died yet, you're fighting the flesh. If you're saved, you've got three enemies you're dealing with: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they're not going to relent until the Lord calls you home. And so it says right here in Romans chapter 7, it says in verse 8, "For I know that is in me." This is the best Christian talking this way. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but to how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good I would, I do not, and the evil which I would not, that I do. Now I know, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing in me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. That's what we are. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? It don't have to end there. It says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, and with the flesh the law of sin. Even our praise must come from the Spirit. And we now have that capacity. That is why the sacrifices of the wicked in Proverbs chapter 15, it says right here, even when we were lost and we would say, yeah, the man upstairs, I don't know, I can't remember if I ever used that word, but I heard a lot of people say that, you know, me and the man upstairs, we got a thing. Well, you just blasphemed him because you don't really know him and he doesn't know you and you're just using him. In Proverbs chapter 15, it says right here, Proverbs 15, anything that lost people who try to do for God before they're saved, he doesn't accept. He says, verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. You know, when the Lord saved you, he gave you the capacity within yourselves to pray to him, and he delights in that. You know, you mothers, don't you? Isn't it wonderful when your little child comes up to you and just wants to be next to you and say, Mommy, I love you, or, you know, or thank you for being who you are and all that? Nothing to make her day, you know? And God is the same way. God is the same way. He wants that praise and that glory. Because it's due him. Praise is comely. To the upright. Praise is comely to the Lord in the upright. He says right here, Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So what are his benefits? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. I don't know about you, that seems good. That seems like a good benefit to me. When you got saved, he forgave you of all your iniquities. Does that mean just your past ones? And that means your present ones. That's the ones you did just before you stepped through the door. that means your future ones, too. You say, there you go again. You think you can just do anything you want. No, we're in this flesh, and God knows that. We know we're battling this battle. But he made provision. You know, if we could keep ourselves saved, all of us would be lost right now. And it's hard for some groups to get a hold of that because they stink. They think there's still a little bit of good in them to make their way to heaven by their good. Well, okay, God, I got this. Now that you saved me, I got it. Well, if you weren't saved by works, you're definitely not kept by works, according to Galatians. He says right here, "Who forgiveth of all thine iniquities." In Acts chapter 13, Paul wrote this when he was preaching. He spoke this. He says in Acts chapter 13, it says right here, Acts 13, he was preaching, it says in verse, it's right here, Acts 13, he says, when he's preaching to the crowd, verse 38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, and through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law. Not only did the Lord save you and forgiven you of all your sins, you know, when a judge shows clemency, they don't take away your guilt. Just take away your punishment. But when they pardon you, they expunge your record as if you had never committed the sin at all. And you know what God did when you trusted Him as your Savior? He took every sin that you were going to make, past, present, and future, and expunged it from His record. That should make you a little lighter in your step, wouldn't it? See, the devil, what is his title? The accuser of our brethren. And you know what he'll do sometimes? He says, oh, you think you're so smart. Remember what you did last week? Remember when you spoke this way and all this? He'll come back and torment you with you. Because he can't take your soul, but he can take your effectiveness away. And if you're so beat down with guilt and sin, if you've honestly confessed it to the Lord has already forgiven you of it. You should go on in newness and walk in strength in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you should be able to say, you should be able to bless the Lord, oh my soul. You know, He's forgiven you of all your sins. Who healeth all thy diseases now. And we're going to get a little dispensational here. He hasn't done that yet. Because you're still dealing with His whole body. And Christians do get sick and they die of diseases and all this. None of us are special. In fact, every one of us have got something in your body right now that's going to eventually kill you. You know, it's a sobering thought. Now, don't go home skittish and all this. Only the Lord knows when that happens, you know. Only the Lord knows that. But that's the type of, it won't be cured until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. When the redemption of our body. See, you're saved right now. Your soul and your spirit are saved. The only thing that hadn't been saved yet is your body. And one of these days it will be complete. It'll be just like His glorious body. Just imagine a body that never goes, gets old, never gets sick, you know, never wears out. If you need anything you want to, ladies, and you won't get fat. Isn't that wonderful? You know, do you think there's going to be outhouses in heaven? You ever think, you know, this is my infantile mind thinks that way. There's not, because He's not going to let anything that defileth or unclean in heaven. You'll have such a perfect body, you'll be able to eat anything you want, and your body will be completely absorb every nutriment in there. It's something to think about. Something to think about. It says right here, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. He'll do that in the millennium. He'll do that in eternity. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. In Isaiah 55, it says He alludes to this in Isaiah 55. It was a promise to Israel, but it's a promise to us. Because we've already experienced the sheer mercies of David, haven't we? When you trusted Christ as your Savior. It says right here in Isaiah 55, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy, eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfy not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. So you know, as a Christian, if you know you've been saved and your sins have been forgiven, you should get rid of that poochy mouth disease. It's God watching over you. God is watching over you. Now, I'm not saying you're going to go through this life. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. By no means. You're going to have trials and tribulations. But you don't have to shoulder it alone, because the Lord will be there with you always. I mean, and many of us, I've always said, a good exercise for you is to write down every answered prayer that God has answered you that you didn't tell anybody else about, and you'll be on shouting ground before you get half that page filled up. Remember that, because sometimes we don't. We get the feeling sorry for ourselves, and we get that poochy lip disease, and, you know, woe is me, why me? Because you're special. He says, incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make it the everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. David wrote this psalm, so he knows what he's talking about. If anyone knew who he was forgiven of, it was David. You know, David committed sins that no sacrifice could be paid for. He committed adultery and murder. Yet God still forgave him. Why? Because he could always reach David. It goes to show you right there, there's no sin you can commit right now that cannot be forgiven by a loving God, by our loving God, if you would just be honest with him and go to him in prayer, Lord, I sinned against you. God, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all our transgressions, all of them. Last time I checked in the Greek, all means all. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles. You know, people get the wrong thing about God, that God don't want you to have nice things. He wants to give you nice things. But doesn't he give you more than just food and raiment? I mean, we're to be content with food and raiment. We're not supposed to lust after more. But God does sometimes, just like you husbands, if you want to really spice up your life with your wife, sometimes you just go buy her something nice. You know, happy wife, happy life, as I've been told. Because you love her. Hasn't God ever did anything for you that he just wanted to do because he loved you? You know what that should make you do? That should say, bless the Lord, O my soul. What a great God that we serve. It says right here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll try to get through this thing. 1 Timothy chapter 6. He says right here, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. That's the key. Where your heart is, there where your treasures are, there will your heart be. You know what? As they say, you should carry everything in this life with a slacked hand. You should be able to get to a point in your life that you were to lose it all. You could still shout and say, praise the Lord, I still have the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. They can take everything. The bank can take everything. They can take my health, but I still have the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why the Lord was blessed with, I know he had a problem with it, his pride, was Job. But he didn't curse God and die. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, his helpmeet said, why don't you just curse God and die? What a helpmeet that is. It says right here, he giveth richly. He said, not to trust, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly, not skimpy. He's not stingy. He who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, that don't mean you can go out and start buying booze and a pack of cigarettes. The Lord doesn't want you to destroy your body and ruin your testimony. There are some things you ought not to touch. But, you know, we're not preaching a prosperity gospel here, but you'll have to admit, the God that we serve has given us more than just food and raiment. And we ought to be able to thank Him for it every day of our life. You know, you parents, you do your whole family a disservice when you don't teach your children to say please and thank you. You know, it's a shame if someone gives your child a gift and they don't turn around and say thank you. Because if they don't learn to say thank you, they're not going to learn to appreciate the things that they do have. They'll get to a point where they think they're owed. And that's the way it goes. It says that, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. You think the world's against you now? One of these days, the Lord is going to turn this ship around, and He's going to take control. And so our hope is not in our government, and not in any man on earth. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the greatest thing that could happen right now. Wouldn't it be great if the Lord were to come back tonight? You know? He could. You know? If you're saved, the rapture could happen in any moment. Wouldn't that be great? Boy, that'd really make a lot of banks upset. Car companies upset. We got so much to look forward to. So, you know, we should take time to just bless the Lord. Just thank Him because He is worthy. He said He has made known His ways unto Moses and His acts unto the children of Israel. Well, how did He do that? He showed Himself, but He also gave us His word. He gave us His word. You know how we can, you cannot know God and His character apart from the Scriptures. Anyone says, well, I got this, you know, I got this revelation. Well, he must have got it out of the Bible because it ain't in there. You know, how do you tell the true from the false? You have to have a rule book, a standard, you know. In everything in life that has standards and weights and judgments and heights, they all have a standard they go by. You know, when I was in the aviation, we had to sign off our work on the aircraft. And that work had to always be referenced to, I certify that this task has been performed in accordance with, and we had to cite the chapter and verse in the manual, in the Federal Aviation Manual. And if we didn't sign it that way, they couldn't release the aircraft for safety. And if we did something wrong, we went to jail. You know? Same way with this. If you don't have the truth, if you don't have a copy of the truth, how are you going to know truth from error? And the Lord was gracious in that He gave something for us that we could do that. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, well, verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You want to show up at the judgment seat of Christ with some fruit? Then stay in your word. Stay in the word. Stay in the Bible. Nothing will replenish. Your spirit is on. You are, as the old saying goes, you are what you eat. And if you feed your spirit through preaching and teaching and reading the word, you'll be strong. But if you're like a lot of Christians who decide they're just going to stay out of church and stop reading their Bible, pretty soon they'll be right back in the world doing everything that they said they'd never do again. He says right here in verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." How many times have you done something where the Lord just showed patience with you and didn't slap you down the first time? You know, I'm glad we're not in the days of Ananias and Sapphira who lied to the Holy Spirit and kept back part of the price. There'd be a lot of dead Christians around here. The Lord has shown a lot of grace to us, hadn't he? How many of you have committed a sin over and over and over again and the Lord still forgave you? You're still breathing air. You know what? That's a loving and patient God. You know, when you had little children at home, they didn't get it right the first time either. But you just kept, okay, get back up. Get back up. Until finally it says, well, I'll let you stew in it until you get sick of it, and then you'll quit it. And by that time, when you're sick of what you're doing, then I can help you. But as long as you're playing around with the edges and just, you know, keeping it there, just, you know, like in case of emergency, break glass, and you pull it out, you'll never get anywhere with God when it comes to victory over sin. Sometimes he'll let you stew in it, but don't stay there too long. He says he will not always shut. In Micah, it's one of those obscure books. Micah is right after Amos. Amos, Obadiah, Micah. Micah chapter 7. It says right here, verse 18. Micah 7, verse 18. "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant?" Of the remnant of his heritage. "He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy." He delighteth in mercy. I don't care how often that you're having a particular kind of sin that's in your life you're trying to get the victory over, the worst thing you can do is give up and quit. I don't care how many times you get down, you sin, and you get back up and you keep doing it and keep doing it. Just keep fighting. Keep fighting. And because the devil wants to say, see, you've gone there too far. You cross that line. God can't do with anything with you. And that's why a lot of Christians. Did we pay our electric bill? Okay. That's what a lot of Christians are out of church because they gave up. They gave up. Never give up. We got to fight this thing to the end. You don't have to fight to stay saved. You just have to fight from getting overtaken by your old man. He says, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. God is not some ogre up there just constantly bringing up the past. He won't bring it up because he's forgiven it. You know who brings it up? You do. Or the devil. He says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins. Isn't that true? David committed adultery and murder, and God forgave him because he got his heart right. Samson was not supposed to eat. He was a Nazarite from his youth, and he got mixed up in the wrong crowd and fell in love with the wrong kind of woman. She ended up ruining him. And they made sport of him, and he could have just died in obscurity. But he humbled himself one last time, says, "Lord, avenge me for mine eyes." And the Lord destroyed more Philistines in his death than he did when he was alive. And he ended up in the book of Hebrews as one of the heroes of faith. You see, God never forgets his own. And we have Manasseh. Manasseh was the king of Judah. His father was Josiah. Manasseh got so far into idolatry that he put idolatry within the temple, and the Lord put him in irons and with the Syrians, and they put him in jail, and he lost his kingdom, and he humbled himself and repented of his sins and confessed to the Lord God of Israel. The Lord turned him around. People say, well, I've gone too far. If you're saved, you haven't gone too far. Call out on the Lord because he loves you. It says right here, he had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy to them that fear him. You know what the key to this is? You see this saying over and over, them that fear him. Never lose your fear of the Lord, your reverential fear, godly fear of the Lord. Fear of displeasing him. Never get so proud in your life that you can't get on your knees and get along with God and ask for forgiveness. Because the devil will say, see, the pride will keep you off your knees. Pride will keep you from asking for forgiveness. You remember the Pilgrim's Progress, one of the scenes where the man was in the cage because he had sinned, or I've gone too far, there's no hope. Pilgrim was trying to deal with him, and he says, oh, I've gone too far, I'm lost. That's what the devil wants you. He wants you in an iron cage. If he can't take your soul, he'll take your witness, he'll take your testimony, he'll take your joy. Do you want that? Some of the most miserable people on the face of the earth are those who are disobedient to the Lord. He says right here, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as the father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. That fear him. You know, that's the key, fearing him. Your sins have been removed. If you trusted Christ as your Savior, your sins have been completely washed away and forgotten, forgiven. But if you sit here in this room tonight and you're lost, your sins are on you. And one of these, if you don't do something with them by going to the Lord and ask for forgiveness, they're going to weigh you down straight into hell. And I hope that don't happen. It don't have to. You know what the worst sin, the worst thing that you, if you go to hell because you would not trust Christ as your Savior, you know what the worst thing that is besides the flame and torment will be? The knowledge that you had 70 years or however long you lived to trust Christ as your Savior and chose not to. And it was so unnecessary. You say, well, I'm young. I got all the time in the world. I gotta get out in the world and have fun. Yeah, fun lasts a little short while. But the devil will have his day with you if you let him. For he knoweth our frame. Verse 14. He remembereth that we are dust. For as a man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes, and the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the wind and the place thereof shall know it no more. In 1 Peter chapter 1, read over here how we think a lot of themselves, you know. It says right here, verse 23, First Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. And the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord shall endure forever. We're just like that grass that fadeth away. In James chapter 4, it says right here, verse 13, go to now, ye that say tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, it's hard for me. I just had my 74th birthday. And I looked myself in the mirror and I said, boy, how old did you get? All of a sudden, it's just like overnight. You know, one day you're thinking, I'm 18, I got my whole life ahead of me. Or I'm 20, I got my whole life ahead of me. I'm 22, just got married, got my whole life ahead of me. I got my job, I'm 30. Oh, that's it. I got my whole life ahead of me. And then all of a sudden, just like I hit a speed bump on the freeway, I look in the mirror and I said, where'd you come from? What happened to your forehead? What happened to your hair? You're wearing glasses when you didn't before. And that is like quick, quick, quick. Don't waste your time, young people. You know what the best thing you can do right now in your youth is get saved, trust the Lord Jesus Christ while you have hope. Give your life to the Lord the best way you know how, and everything will go right with you. I'm not saying everything will be perfect, but everything will go right for you. And he says right here, verse 16, the wind passeth over it and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. You know, you get, Christian, you get in a dangerous spot when sin no longer bothers you. And you can sin with impunity. I mean, you can get your heart so hard because of too much comfort in the world and doing your own thing. And you can grieve the Holy Spirit to where he'll just say, I'm not going anywhere, but I'm not helping you. You got the control. You get that point. It's time to call on the Lord before it's too late. Because the Lord, just like a good parent, if you get out of line, he may have to use corporal punishment on you. And so he did in Corinth. For this cause, many of you are weak and many of you sleep. They're not talking about sleeping in the bed. They're talking about sleeping in the grave. And we don't want that. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, from them that fear him and his righteousness unto children's children, such as keep his covenant, and those that have made his command to do them. You know, that's all been fulfilled in Romans chapter 8. Real quick, this is one of the best verses in the New Testament. You want some comfort? I don't know if this don't comfort your heart, I don't know what. It says right here, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Because that's the only way to get in him. Guess what? You're not under condemnation anymore. God don't see you as a sinner. He sees you as one of his own. He sees his Son in you. And if that doesn't make your heart skip a beat, I don't know what it is, you know. That should never be overshadowed by the things of the world. You get so used to being saved for a long time, sometimes you just forget of how you were before. Because we were all lost and on our way to hell, and it hadn't have been for the Lord to make an intervention in our life, we'd be there right now. The Lord hath prepared, verse 19, his throne in heavens and his kingdom ruleth over all. Eventually, he's preparing his kingdom right now. And one of these days, he's coming back, the second advent context, and he's going to set up his kingdom. And guess who's going to be ruling with him? Us. He raised up a whole nation of kings and priests, and we shall live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years, and after that we'll go on into eternity, forever. Amen. He says right here, bless the Lord, ye angels that excel in strength, and do his commandments, and hearken unto the voice of his word. You know, according to 2 Kings chapter 19, I think one angel took care of the Syrians of 185,000 in one night. That's pretty good work for one angel. Jesus Christ says, I think not that I can bring 12 legions and angels. I mean, you talk about a wipeout. This world is heading for a wipeout. But we'll be watching the video from upstairs. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye minister of his, and do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You can see David. He's reminding of what he's been forgiven of. You know, it wouldn't be a bad thing for you sometime to just to reflect on what the Lord has done for you personally and what he's forgiven you personally and what he's done for you personally. I dare say you'll be on shouting ground real quick. Now, if you can't do that, then maybe you need to trust Christ as your Savior and have that same benefit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we can come together.